spend your time and take your time. It's not babysitting. It's taking the time out and working with these kids and raising them up to know the things of the Lord. How important is that? Very, very important. Well, we're continuing on in our study in James. The title of our lesson today is The Enemy Within. I want us to think about, Scripture tells us, and you know, one of the themes, and especially how we've been studying, that trials and temptations are a part of our life. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:13 said that it's a common thing for us to have temptations or to fall into trial, but it also says that God makes a way through each temptation for us to overcome it. So temptation is a part of our life, but if we're not careful, when we're tempted and when we give in to things, you know what we do then? We start what I like to call the blame game. It's the blame game, right? And here's what happens is, we don't want to take the blame on ourselves. We want to pull it out and say it's somebody else's fault. If you think about the first sin in the garden, Adam and Eve in a perfect environment now, a perfect relationship with a man and woman, a perfect relationship with God, and they fall and they disobey and they take and they eat the fruit. And when God comes to Adam and he says, "What have you done?" What does he say? "It was that woman that you gave me." He blames God. He blames God. He's really blaming God, that woman that you gave. And then when he goes to Eve, what did she say? "It was the serpent that tempted me." We've been wanting to play the blame game from the very beginning, from the time that sin. In fact, if you study any of the Sigmund Freud psychobabble, that's what it's all about. Just blame your mom and daddy for everything. It's the way you were raised. You can't overcome it. And I'm going to tell you, we've bought into that. It's so important, our environment as parents and how we raise our children. And yes, we take responsibility, but guess what? Paul said, "When I was a child, I acted like a child, I spake like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." We can't blame our parents for the choices and the sins that we make. We just can't. But that's what we want to do. You see, we buy right into that mindset. I want us to see that James, he's going to show us today in our verses that, you know what? If we're not careful, we'll blame even God for the things that come into our life. Let's stand to our feet and read James chapter 1. James chapter 1, 13 through 18. James chapter 1, 13 through 18. And the Word of God says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for just the opportunity to preach your word. Thank you for your word and where it finds us. I pray in Jesus' name that you will touch our lives. Show us what it is you'd have us to learn today. Thank you for the privilege. In Christ's name and for his glory, amen. You may be seated. The enemy within each and every one of us, we'll just get right to the point, is called sin. Sin, we're born into sin. It doesn't take long, we've talked about this, that you didn't teach your kids to be right, to be all about themselves when they're little, 2 years old. It's all about them, it's what they want, those kind of things. We can see sin that comes forth at an early age. We're all born into sin, and that's our problem. And guess what? It affects one out of one of us. We like statistics. One out of one of us. We all are affected, born into sin, and we all die, by the way. I hope that don't take you by surprise this morning. The Lord tarries. Enough time goes by, we will all die. We'll either go on to be with him or he'll come back and get us, one of the two. Those are the two options. But we'll all die because of sin, and we'll see that. We'll see in the progression that James is going to show us in his word. But I want us to think about, let's look at the characteristics of the enemy that's within and how it's manifested, this sin problem that we had. First, I want to look at verse 13. It's our delusion. Look what it says. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." You know, our reason, a reason, and often becomes distorted when we're facing temptations and we're facing trials. And notice what James says, the word. He didn't say if we're tempted, did he? What did he say? When. When. It's a part of our life. It's going to be a part of our life. And we talked about 1 Corinthians 10:13 said it's a common thing in our life as men and women to have temptations. But he goes on, he said we cannot blame God for our temptations. In fact, James is getting very adamant about that. So when we fall into temptation, we need to understand it's not God that's tempting us. For it says, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, is what the scripture says. That word cannot, I want us to look at that. It's a word used only here in the New Testament, and it carries the idea of being untemptable or without the capacity of temptation. Chris, put that up. Cannot there. Yeah. Look, it says it's only used here, and it says he cannot be tempted. It carries the idea of being untemptable. This is our God. Listen to this. God and evil exist in two distinct realms, and they never meet. So what are you talking about, David? And we need to think about this for a minute. He's aware of evil, but he's untouched by it. You say, okay, here's a good illustration. It'd be like a sunbeam touching shining down on a trash pile, but it's never affected by that trash. The sunbeam's not. Evil, then what do we do with evil? And I've taught the young people about evil. What do we do? Okay, did God create evil? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. The world wants to ask you, and you'll be stumbled. What about evil? How can a good God let all the things happen in the world? You'll hear all these things, so we need to be secure on what? What is evil? What is evil? Let me ask you this. If we blacked out the windows and I turned all of these lights off, did I create darkness? Did I create darkness? No. What is darkness then? It's the absence of light. Evil is the absence of good. God did not create evil. God created everything good. We know in Genesis, did he not say everything was good? And in fact, he said it is very good in some things. Evil was not created. Evil is the absence of good. It's the privation of good. It's not nothing God created. It's something we're going to have to understand. You know who's to blame for evil? We are. We are. We are the ones that took a perfect thing that God had created and because of disobedience ushered in sin into the garden. When sin came, death came, and all the things that go with it. God's not evil. God is holy. In fact, the antithesis of that. He's the opposite. He's in control of all things. We don't have to worry about those things. Well, what about this? What about God's in control? And the scripture says he works all things out for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. He's far above our humanly thinking or putting him in the box of understanding he's God. And James wants us to let us know, hey, don't ever blame God and say he's tempting me. James wants to make sure that you understand that we cannot blame God. And he also, you know what? You remember the old Flip Wilson? Now I'm showing my age. You remember what Flip Wilson used to say? The devil made me do it. That's what he said. And if we're not careful, boy, I know some people. I know some people that I'm close to. They want to blame everything. It's the devil. He did it. And they don't want to ever take the blame for themselves. It's our choices. We choose these things. We choose whether to give in to temptation. And so James is wanting us to know, hey, you don't blame God. Don't blame the devil. Take it on yourself. That's what James is letting us know today. And he said it's a delusion when we think otherwise, when we're wanting to look and point our fingers and wanting to blame it on something. We can understand this morning, by the way. We're all guilty of that. Very rarely do we want to take it on the chin and say, you know what, it's my fault. I'm the one to blame. Well, not only is it our delusion in verse 13, but it's our desires in 14. Look what verse 14 says. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. There we start seeing that. James is saying it's our own desires. It's our own natural fallenness. It's that spiritual disposition to sin that's in each and every one of us. And get ready now. I told you that I thought Paul was a country boy. Why? He's going to use two examples here. One's a hunting example, one's a fishing example. We can understand that here on the mountain, right? You can find yourself. The hunting example, that carried away, that word there, it's meaning to drag away or to be compelled. And you know what he's talking about? It's this inner desire, and it's talking about in hunting, baiting something in. Does anybody say amen? You know you guys are out there baiting those deer in right now, right? murder season comes in Saturday, okay? Let's confess our sins here. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I put out my bait pie. I got my apples out. I got my corn out. You know what? It's getting tore up. Them deer, they love the bait. They love the apples this time of year, especially when it's been a good year for apples. And what it is they're a slave to their belly, their appetites. They want to eat the easy-to-eat food, right? It's cold out there. Corn regenerates heat. So, man, they come in and they eat, and they forget about what's waiting on them, right? The chances that they're taking to come into that bait pile. And that's what he's talking about when he says carried away. That's the example that he's saying. He's carried away. They're enticed. And then the next thing, look, is a fishing example. You don't hunt. A lot of you fish. And then what's he talking about there? He's talking about that enticed. It's the term referred to baiting a hook. What do? You get that big worm, right? You dig those worms out, and you stick him on that hook, and you throw him out there, and that fish checks that thing out. He's sitting there saying, now, wait a minute. I see something sticking in that worm. I better not eat him. No, he sees the worm as something that looks like it's fell naturally in the water, and he takes it. He doesn't think about being hooked and reeled in. James is saying that's what it's like in our desires and ourselves. You see, animals and fish are successfully lured to bait piles and hooks because the bait is too attractive for them to resist. It looks good, it smells good, it's appealing, and it's strong to their senses. Their desire for bait is so intense that it causes them to lose caution and to overlook or ignore the trap or the hook until it's too late. James, that's what our desires are like also on the inside. It's exactly the same way when we give in to temptation. When our own lust draws us towards evil, things that are appealing or fleshly to our desire, do you know what? Sin looks attractive. If it wasn't, and it's pleasurable for a season, if it wasn't, then it wouldn't be so attractive of us, and we wouldn't have so much trouble with it. I remember Anna saying it's like chocolate-covered feces. And think about it. Yeah, but it's the truth. Sin is attractive, but you know what it has? And it's luresome and it's pleasurable for a season, but it has no satisfaction. And we don't think about the consequences of our choices. We don't think about what it is that we pay when we reap and sow. James said that's what it's like. It's, Satan tries to make it as attractive as possible. Have you noticed that? Do you watch TV anymore? It's amazing. I thought, man, if my grandma was alive, she'd been just the commercials. I mean, really, and that's just part of our society nowadays. You know, it's nothing. They use everything to lure you in, try to get you to buy a product. It doesn't matter. They make it sin look like that's the cool way to live, young people. That's what they want you to believe. That this, if you want to be cool, you live this way. And it's totally opposite of what the Word of God says. If you want to have a fulfilled, successful life, follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. Be fulfilled in Christ. Find your purpose. Find your place in Him. Find the abundant life of John 10:10. Only comes through Him. The world has to offer a bunch of junk and say this will fulfill you when God says this is truly what you're looking for. And it's that tug and pull that we can all relate to. My goodness, these young people in today, how tugged and pulled are they? We should pray for them. We should pray for them because they live in a world and environment that's totally contrary even to the things that when we grew up. Oh, we should pray for them and reach for them and say, man, let me show you and tell you. And here's the deal. Don't be so fake and phony that you can't say, let me tell you the mistakes that I made. Don't you make the same thing. How foolish it is. We don't want to act like we're lily white, perfect people. That's what they're tired of seeing, this younger generation. They want to see realness and real people and not plastic. They want to see people that can say, you know what, I made a mistake, Mom and Dad. It takes a big man to say, you know what, I messed up. I reacted that way the wrong way. Dad, Mom, they need to see that, yeah, you know what, we make mistakes also. We do. Plenty of them. But you know what, there's one that doesn't, and his name's Jesus. And if we get in right relationship with Him, these desires and this stuff that Satan throws at you constantly every day, that He gives, it's called the Holy Spirit of God, that you can overcome these temptations that you are going to face. How foolish of us to think that our kids don't face these temptations, or that we don't. But we're responsible for it. The problem is our own lust. That's what He's talking about. to them. We all are personally responsible for responding to each of them. We are. We saw our delusion. We saw our desires. But this, look at this. And it's our deception, 15 and 16. It says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. He said, you know, he's having identified lust in the nature of man. Now James is talking about what? And the process of temptation in our life. And if you think about it, he's using the illustration of what? Of childbirth. He's using childbirth. He said, a lust is depicted as a mother and is conceiving and bearing a child, which is sin, whose ultimate destiny is death. And that's what he says. Our desires conceive, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. You know, here's the deal. Before we come to know the Lord, we're slaves to our own lust. We're slaves to our own lust. Now, lust can be morally and spiritually neutral. Think about this. It's all not bad. Its rightness and wrongness is determined by the object of desire and for what purposes it is desired for. So we can lust it. The psalmist says, as the deer panteth after the water, so my soul longeth after you. I mean, it can be morally neutral. It's got to do with what it is that we're desiring and what we're giving into or what we're going to do with it when we do receive it. But I want you to know something, that it shows us that we can see the steps of our struggle, of our sin. We can see that, here's the deal. We can recognize that the battle can be won before the baby's ever born. The battle is won and lost right here in our minds. The window is open. The window is open that we can see and take in. But you know what? The battle is won right here. Your choices. And if we learn before it's conceived, is it wrong? Here's my dad. My dad came to know Christ late in his life. He lived a rough life, my dad. I didn't grow up in a Christian home where I had all these great examples. I did not. I'm not one of those guys. I praise God for you that if you do, you thank God for that. I didn't. I grew up and my dad was a hellion. He just went out and lived. He drank. He had a drinking problem. When he got drunk, he wanted to fight everybody, including me. Those kind of things. You know what? But when he came to know Jesus, I got to lead him to the Lord. Something changed. He didn't want to beat up on nobody no more but himself. And he had to live with that because he could not go back and undo the things that he had done in his life. And you know what? He wanted to be so right with the Lord that when he was tempted, he thought it was sin. Now, when you find somebody that thinks temptation is sin, that's a miserable person. Why? Because everybody's tempted. I want you to understand that this morning. In fact, the scripture said Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, but without sin. So if temptation is sin, we're saying Jesus didn't. No, he did. Temptation is not sin. There's a process that goes on. Okay? There's a process, and we choose. And the battle is won right here. We can conquer it before the baby's ever born by your choices. You see, because the baby is a murderer. He's a killer. Lust, when it gives in, it births sin. And what does sin do? Sin brings death. Death entered into our realm of human when we chose sin. Humans, when we chose sin in the garden, we die. In fact, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin, we earn death by our choices. But praise God, the rest of that verse, I didn't put it up there, but the gift of God's what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus. The wages, we earn death. We earn death, but God brought the gift of his Son through Jesus Christ, and he gave us life through Jesus. That when we are tempted, that we can overcome it in his name. And if we give in to temptation, we can ask him to forgive us in his name. Now that's some good life right there. And he gives that to each and every one of us. Our deception is we think, you know, that we can't overcome temptation when the scripture says that we can. Sin brings forth physical death. It's separating the soul and the body. Spiritual death separating the soul from God. And eternal death separating the body from the soul and God forever. I want you to know something this morning. You might be living in sin. You might have chosen a sinful lifestyle. You might have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Guess what? Today you can. Today you can receive Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, how? That sounds so simple. It is. It's so simple that a child, I've seen many children since I've come here receive Christ. It's that simple. We're the ones that make it so difficult. You know what we start doing? Well, I need to quit doing this, this, and this, and that. If you could quit doing that, why did Jesus ever need to come? If we could fix our problem ourselves, why did Jesus ever need to come? The problem is we just need to give up and say, you know what? I'm so tired of living in sin, Lord. I understand today through your word that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a perfect man, that he was the perfect sacrifice for my sin. He died on that hill called Calvary, and they buried him in a tomb, but on the third day he arose. Praise God. He arose on the third day that anybody whosoever would believeth on him shall not perish. The wages of sin is death, but shall have everlasting life, which is the gift of God. You can have everlasting life through the gift, God's gift, the greatest gift he's ever given us. And we'll see that here in just a minute. It's Jesus Christ. James implores us, don't be deceived, my brethren. That's what he finishes up here in this section 16. In other words, stop blaming people, circumstances, or Satan for your temptations and sin. And especially don't blame God, but take full blame on yourself. That's what James is saying. Don't be deceived, my dear brother. But lastly, we see our delusion. We see our desires. We see our deception. But listen, I'm glad it doesn't stop there because we see our deliverance. Look at verse 17 and 18. And I use this verse a whole lot. If you've ever been around me much, pray, especially for people in physical situations and doctors and all this. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know what he's saying? Our deliverance is right here in these verses. James is letting us know, you know what? What comes from God's not temptation. What's James saying? Every good thing. Do you know every good thing in our life comes from God? Every good thing. You've heard me, if you heard me pray, people in the hospitals when Joe was down there and went down in the ICU, and he's getting ready to go in surgery. And I'm so thankful. Why? Because we do have hospitals, that we do have doctors, that we do have medicines, that we do have nurses. We have all these great things because the Bible says every good thing comes from God. So we're praising God, actually, for these good things. And that's what James said. Don't blame God for bad things happening in your life. Understand that he gives us all the good things. And he calls him, I like what he says. He says he's the Father of lights. You know what he's talking about? Creator. He owns us, by the way. God created us. He was our creator. So we owe him our allegiance. If he owns us and he owns everything, then we owe him ourselves. He's our Father of lights. And then I like that. When we change, we're vacillating constantly. What did James say? In whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You don't have to worry about one day God not loving you and then not loving you. He don't change. You don't have to worry about one day, is there another way to get to heaven? God made one way, and that's called Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You don't have to worry about changing and the world vacillates and something's changing all the time. Our God never changes. He's holy, he's perfect, and he's pure, and he's for us, and he delivers us through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Because that's what I was talking about. The greatest gift that he gives us is not all these things that he gives, but who he is. And who he is a God that provided salvation through the perfect atonement of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the God that we serve. His perfect, holy, spotless Lamb of God, Jesus, that he sent to this earth for you and for me. That we don't have to blame anymore. We can say, God, forgive me for my sinful life. I turn to Jesus and I receive him. And you know what? He said he makes us a child of God. And the scripture said, if any man is in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. Everything becomes new. And we were talking about that in Sunday school today, about how we've seen people change. And I was just talking about my own dad. I saw my dad become a creature of the light. What happened to that old dad? He laid it down at the foot of the cross. I don't care what you're dealing with out here today, what temptation, what you might be giving in, the sin that you're living in. God knows it, and you cannot say, I can't quit it, because in Jesus you can. In Jesus you can. I love that. He doesn't, he doesn't leave us right there, but he says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That's the gospel. That's what we're preaching today. It's the word of God that saves us, that changes, that sustains us. But he didn't just save us, but look with the purpose. He does it by the word for a purpose. That what? That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know what he's talking about there? He's speaking about the new creation as a whole. If you think about, Paul talks about 2 Corinthians 5:17. We talk about the new creature in Christ. But if you think about in the Revelation, what does he say? There's going to be, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Everything's going to become new. And guess what? We become new right now when we receive Jesus Christ. We're those first creatures, that first fruit. When do you have eternal life? When do you become an eternal creature? When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That moment on, you have eternal life. That moment, you have eternal life. You become that creature he's talking about. We are his creature. He's our Father. He's our Creator. Will we be tempted? Yes, we will. Each and every one of us will. Do we have a way of overcoming temptation? Yes, we do, James tells us. The battle is won and lost again in our mind. Slay this lust before the baby's conceived. Don't allow lust to become sin. Receive Christ if you don't have him as your personal Savior. You know that you're not here by coincidence, by the way. God in his divine providence knew that you'd bring here. He knew eternity past that you would hear these words from an old redneck preacher right here at Southport Baptist Church. He knew exactly where you'd be, exactly what you needed. He knows if you rejected him 100 times or 1,000 times, he knows where you're at. He knows if you're dealing with temptation. He knows the sin that's in your life. If you're playing around acting like you're a Christian, but you're living in sin, he knows all them things. We're getting ready. We're going to do our application. We're going to have a time of response. If God has spoken to your heart, if you know, if you're dealing with the temptation, you're dealing with sin in your life, if you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, come at the altar call. Our applications, I want you to see what our applications are. Said, are you blaming? Who are you blaming for your sins? Who are you blaming? What are you blaming? Maybe your childhood, mom and dad, or whatever you want to fill in back. Who are you blaming for your sins? Second, do your desires control you or do you control your desires? Something for us to think about. Do your desires control you or do you control your desires? And lastly, we are his creatures, created to bring him glory. Live in that truth. Step outside these doors and understand you're a creature that he created for his glory. I don't care what anybody says. God says, you're my child. I created you for my glory. Don't buy into what the devil says about you or what somebody else. If you're a child of God, he created you for his glory. Linda, let's come and have our time of response. Where are you at? Where does this message find you? Does it find you maybe that, you know what? I'm lost. I've just never received Christ. Come, when we start singing, when we get up, we start singing, come and tell me that. Let me know. I'd love to show you through Scripture. We can get out and pray a prayer of forgiveness. Maybe you're struggling with sin. You're saying, you know what? I've got sin in my life, and I've been playing games with God. I want to get it right today. From here on, I want to, my temptation, these things that I'm giving in it, I'm struggling with these things. This is what I want to do. Whatever it is that God's telling me, please respond. Let's stand to our feet. At the cross is where you can lay it today.
Sinners such as I.
Southport is here for that. So we love each and every one of you. Thank you guys for the great day. It was a bad start, right, for weather, but you guys come out. So I thank you. Like I said on the phone, it's just a light dust. Well, praise the Lord that he's back on. Now, that does us a lot of good, don't it? That's just like, ain't that just like Satan? But you know what? We had a good time, and it worked. Everything worked out. So we don't allow circumstances to dictate how we react to things. We have something greater than our circumstances, and that's Jesus Christ. That means come tonight.